Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Today we are doing Batman, the video game. It's the only one that was ever made.
It's nice that Batman finally got a video game, and I just wish there were more of them.
It comes from a wonderful time of movie games, I think, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Like, it gets Batman right. Like, if it were really based on the movie, like, Batman would be, like, really clumsy, really slow. He'll fall through the roof, stand there, and then a bunch of dudes will, like, take turns punching at him, and Batman will just, like, catch their punches, and, like, while standing basically motionless except for his arms, like, in this game, he moves like you think Batman's gonna move.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I think that's obvious.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Top 47K Games as always. This is episode 194, probably, and we are going to siege the Earth. Or actually, we're going to protect the Earth, because that's what you do in the game. It's Earth Siege. The game was nominated to us by STX Alumni. What is STX? Is that like a thing? On iTunes, the game was developed by Dynamics and published by Sierra Online when they were, I guess, called, was this when they were called Sierra Online and then they changed the name to Sierra a little later? I mean,
yep,
everyone was online
in the
90s.
Online.
Yeah.
Was a hyphen.
Back in olden days, even, there were online systems and then Sierra Online in 82. So they were online before things were online.
They put everyone online.
They were online so early that their online was hyphenated.
Yes. Charming.
That's true. The game was released in 1994 in the US on the MS-DOS system. It is a MS-DOS game. There is no secret Windows version or anything. It is a DOS game through and through. And I am Carl, and I think literally everyone has also chimed in. Who else is here to talk about Earth Siege?
I'm the Great Glade.
I'm Texelbam.
I'm Jeff the Electric Viking. Hi.
And this has got so many people today. I was absolutely shocked that everyone showed up for Earth Siege, which was... Because this is a robot mech stompy stomp game, and it's not a MechWarrior game. Although it is a MechWarrior game, because Dynamics, I believe they were the ones that made the original MechWarrior, like, in the 80s. And then the license went from Sierra or whomever to Activision, but Dynamics weren't going to let that stop them, so they went, we're just make our own MechWarrior, and it'll be called Earth Siege, and it'll be set in the Metaltech universe instead of Battletech, and all of the art will be the exact same, and we won't get sued. I think they did. You'd be surprised to learn, I think there was some legal back and forth for reasons that are really obvious, because this looks exactly like MechWarrior. except newer and 3D-er. Everyone familiar with MechWarrior? I hope so. Even if you've never played a game, you are a robot pilot, and you pilot a robot, and then that's the game. And this is similar to that.
Like classic Battletech stuff, so I am familiar with MechWarrior.
I mean, oh, I'm glad you're familiar with MechWarrior.
Yeah, like, I've not quaffed deeply from the MechWarrior well, but at a certain point when you are even remotely interested in giant robot gaming anything, you're going to trip over MechWarrior something, because it's a pretty deep well.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising, because it's a genre that is sort of dead. It's not actually dead, but it's one of those genres that kind of gets kicked along by, like, hardcore enthusiasts for the genre.
What games are there?
I think it seems to be somewhat dead as a dedicated genre, but there's a fair amount of games that have mechs in them, but that may or may not be dedicated mech games.
Lest we forget, you know, Steel Battalion Heavy Armor only came out 7 years ago, guys, and really, like, revitalized the whole genre.
I couldn't even drink the tragically bad Wii one.
That was the Kinect one.
Yeah.
Is it the one in the universe where, like, microbes ate all the computer chips?
Yes, I think that's the Steel Battalion. Everything's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Analog in that fiction. I couldn't tell you much more than that.
I actually like that, because analog is almost inherently more interesting than digital.
I would agree.
It's a great setup, and it's interesting, because this game actually has a setup, not exactly the same, but it uses a setup to justify a specific aspect of the game, which is it's humans versus Skynet, basically, because humans nuked themselves halfway to oblivion, and Skynet was like, I'm actually just going to get rid of all humans because they're stupid. That's actually the plot, basically. But it's not like super smart Skynet, so the AI robots are like just kind of dumb drones that are kind of wandering around with some sort of non-real, not a great sense of purpose. So it explains why, you know, the AI that you're up against ain't super great, because it's just kind of...
It's like, one of those wonderful, like, to get real grognardy here, what would you say, post hoc ludonarrative justifications for AI's hard.
Oh my god, I think I'm dead.
Yep, I just killed you. But, like, AI's hard, it's okay, we'll fix it.
Yeah.
Pat, I'm gonna give you a wedgie for that.
It's what is it? It's like ludonarrative cognizance or something? Like, it's the opposite of it. Yeah. Fantastic!
Essentially, Skynet if Skynet couldn't really be bothered.
Bye. Sorry, Tax?
It's essentially Skynet if Skynet couldn't really be bothered. So there's not going to be like time travel or anything. Like, oh, like hold your horses. So let's just try to shoot people at first.
Yeah, it's big on like just... It's like, it doesn't matter. Humans
Skynet
are dumb,
with
we'll
a $20
win.
Budget.
Skynet that like turns in its first draft and it's like, you know what? That's good enough. And the prof's like, you know, you can edit this. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'll take this.
It actually makes like a lot of sense if you kind of understand like modern algorithm and modern machine learning. It's like, yeah, it's actually not very smart because we built it and we're not very smart. So it's not very smart. It's like, should this be better? I don't know. Whatever. Keep going.
We knew we shouldn't have hired those janitors to program everything.
And speaking of custodial staff, I think that's who they got to do some of the FMV in this game.
That's mean. It's trying. It's 1994.
They're charming. I'll say that.
You know what? Yeah, my favorite part are the FMVs where they essentially have a static body and only the head is moving or the face.
So good.
They look
classic.
You know those walls where you can like stick your head through and then take a picture. So that's essentially what this is. It is because the body just doesn't move any pixel; only the face moves. So it looks like you're standing behind one of those photo walls, and you're giving them.
Video RAM was expensive. Damn it.
So I will say, I'm pretty sure everyone here would have played the CD version with voices. Graciously, the company that operates and owns the actual franchise and license to this game and universe has released this one, as I understand it, as freeware. So you can pretty much just get it off them or something like that. So we've all played the superior version. It was released on the floppies, but this is the superior CD version, which has some voice acting and I think a little bit more stuff going on, but not a lot. It means that a guy yells at you sometimes, and that's really like the
hey main... whose side are you on?
Yeah
oh I'm sorry, I couldn't tell.
No, you can't. It's really difficult, which is the name of the game.
That's what Earthsiege cool means in German, right?
This one was, importantly, was released before MechWarrior 2, which I have to mention because that is considered by a lot of people to be like the gold standard of mech walking around shooting thing games of the era. This one snuck in first because they delayed MechWarrior 2 a bunch of times, I think trying to get it right. So this game was like, 90% is good enough, and, you know, logged it, released some patches early on because the game was kind of broke. Great work. So you get to play either a single level, which you can kind of choose the parameters a little bit of, including a training mode, which is great because it literally makes you invulnerable to damage so that you can learn how to play the game without getting instantly scrubbed. And there is, you know, several different mission types, and you get to pick all your different robots, and you get to experiment with all the different weapons. I'd say the real, like, meat of the game is probably more the campaign mode, which just kind of plows you through a story mode where you try to win and stop the Earth from being destroyed by the... Well, not destroyed, but I guess stop humanity from getting wiped out by the Cybrids? Is that their name?
Correct.
Yes, Cybrids.
Yes, I got it. And so you do stuff like, build. You actually get to, like, choose to build new robots, and you salvage things by destroying the enemy robots without blowing up every single piece, so you get weapons. Doesn't quite work out exactly, like, you don't just magically get a bunch of weapons. The game just kind of doles out specific things across the campaign, and if you succeed in certain things, it gives you better stuff. If you don't succeed, it actually just keeps going, and will just give you the stuff later on. It's a little bit weird, but it's an interesting take on a campaign mode.
I think the idea is that you swap your equipment around a little bit, because there's various weapons that are better against certain things, like the laser weapons are better against shields, whereas the kinetic weapons are better against machines directly. But half the time I have the feeling you don't really have that much of a choice, because you might not get the scrap. You need to prepare adequately. You just need to, like, recharge anyway on supplies and everything. So the idea is kind of neat, but you might not know what you're up to up against in the next mission anyway. So it's a little bit of a gamble.
It doesn't really, like, it's happy to tell you, like, oh, there's turrets in the next level, or there's going to be some enemies in the next level. But your recon sucks. You get, like, you can save and load all you want, as much as you want. So if you're crazy, you can definitely save, play the level, and be like, oh, okay, I should probably have my heavy loadout, or I should probably have a lighter loadout. So you can kind of do that if you want to. The game will kick your ass pretty hard, constantly, especially on campaign, because I think campaign is just a fixed difficulty setting. Whereas the individual levels, you can choose to be really hard or not especially hard.
I think the idea is that the campaign is branching.
Yes. So there's sort of a, I guess, what's the comparison point? I had such this beautiful stream in my head. It's totally gone. Wing Commander 3, which I guess I'm looking at a date right now, and it came out about 3 months before this. and it's interesting to bring that up specifically because I think visually the two kind of track in some ways. But yeah, the idea that, like, based on how you do in missions, the story can fork in specific directions. The merit of the writing of this game is up for debate, but they tried something, I guess, that's worth mentioning.
I mean, the game has, like, a big simulation stamped on it, so I can see that they're just kind of trying to give you this, like, it feels like a real campaign, kind of, because, it doesn't just game over you if you fail. If you fail and you don't get somehow arbitrarily saved by a nearby unit, which can happen sometimes, I don't know if it's random or not, then you do die, and you will have to reload. And you die in one of the classic long-form DOS cutscenes where a robot rips out your brain. Good game over. You just literally get, like, cut up into pieces and they steal your brain. So watch it if you want. It's actually not very violent, but it's pretty implicit. That's great. I love the long-form game overs. You can skip it, of course, but...
Yeah, I'm a bit mixed on the campaign structure, because it does mean if you do poorly in a mission, you still get a chance to continue and you don't have to replay the mission necessarily. But it also means that things are probably going to get harder and the campaign also gets longer. So if you're already not that great at completing the missions, you probably going to continue to fail. And it's more of a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes it can be a lot easier to just replay the mission, especially once you know where stuff is. Because it's one of those games where you don't have to know where everything is to win the mission, but it really helps if you have an idea of what the environment actually looks like. Because it's mostly just a plane, and everything looks kind of samey. Yeah. At least I found it to be difficult to know where stuff is. Once I was in the level, it's easier to just play it once, gauge where things are, and then make a proper attempt.
This is a game you're probably better off like playing like the little one-off missions like for 3 days and then try the campaign.
Yeah,
I mean, I think to an extent, it kind of does shine better as just I just want to play a little bit of the game.
Oh yeah, and to bring up the word you mentioned, simulation. This game is really, really cool in that you get to play as a giant robot, and we should really stress that because it's a big simulation of playing as a giant robot.
Being very literal, yes, it is essentially a flight simulator in a mech.
Which is a better flight simulator for my money.
Like, yes, there's not like a make the mech stand up button. There's not a just randomly deploy bullcrap button, but it does
expect you do need to wait 10 minutes for the mech to boot up every time you start the game.
Heat the engine up, book while it warms up. Manually pump the shields with like a big ass crank or something.
You don't need to spend time on a treadmill to like recharge the batteries. So. Speaking of the mechs, they're called Hercs, which is short for Herculean, which is short for Humaniform Emulation Roboticized Combat Unit with Leg Articulated Navigation. That is the most obvious and pretentious backronym I've ever seen in a video game. That's saying something. So I don't know what kind of pry bar they used to make that work after they came up with a name, but that's. Leg articulated navigation. You mean the thing can walk? Walking is what you mean.
We needed three selling points on the back of the box. It's like,
it can legs, walk.
Limbs, lower limbs.
I like to think the first models had all these legs and then forgot all the guns. Sent them out to war. Oh no.
Or it's like that dive kick character that wears his shoes on his feet, hands or whatever. He's just like two sets of legs, basically. They're like, this one was put together. This seems wrong.
I'm going to say, though, like, if you put like a bunch of genuine nerds in charge of making a robot, I could genuinely see them coming up with that name. Like, be like, we call it the Herculean. It stands for, and the investors are just like, oh, God, this thing better work. I swear, like... All right, let's see what you got. Like, it works! And it's like, $20 billion on this? But the cool thing about the game, because we have, you might have seen a little bit negative, but I will say, it goes really hard in the simulation in terms of all the mechs have different cockpits, which are, you know, visually different, so they have different, like, viewing areas, so some of them have more sights, some of them have less. All of the... stuff is kind of like the same, like, you know, like where the shields and stuff are like kind of the same in terms of like what they are, but some of it is represented differently graphically. It's put in different places. Like, the keyboard is entirely used. You'll pretty much need the whole damn thing. So good luck remembering that because it won't tell you what the hotkeys are.
That's why we used to have things called reference cards, children.
Yep. You got to get the reference card. If you're going to play it, you may want to print it off with a printer. The mouse is actually used. You can use the mouse to click on things and actually activate them in the cockpit, which is pretty cool if the game wasn't fast-paced enough that you can kind of get yourself screwed, because if you really need to up your shields, it can be like, oh, no, and you're already kind of dead to an extent. But it is cool, and you can do things like chain your weapons together so that they fire off in different... ways, and there's a whole different like programming thing that you can actually sort of say, I want to fire all my missiles at once, and then I want to fire all my lasers at once, and you can also kind of balance how much energy is put into your individual weapons, so that you can be like, I want my lasers immediately, don't care as much about this gun, it can fire when it feels like. Like, it really goes all in on simulation, and it will tell you readout on all of your different limbs and stuff, like, well, you've taken this much damage in this one and this, and you can divert your shields, and you can open up different, like, cockpit menus and you can look down at your map and you can order your troops, but it doesn't matter because they'll walk in front of you and get killed. But, you know, other than that...
Yeah.
That's agreed. It. That's the whole game then.
Yeah, like there's really not much more to say. Like, I think, you know, even when you consider it within its own canon, like, it would be very, like, even at the time, like, I'm looking back at, like, the CGW review and they're like, yeah, it's buggy as hell. It's a shame that they're going to have to patch this thing to make it, like, kind of worth buying, caveat emptor. And then they basically immediately superseded it a year later with Earth Siege 2, which was itself, like, pretty much entirely superseded by Star Siege, which was completely obliterated by Tribes, which is why I played this game in the begin with, is basically like I chose this on this list because at a certain point I got turned on to that free-to-play version of Tribes in like 2012. And I was like, that is a fast, fun game. And to see this as kind of like the origin story of that franchise is like kind of crazy.
In the same universe.
Yeah. You know, interesting. This is not like Tribes.
fun. I love robots and I love moving them around. And it's really confusing when you get bumped into reverse and then all of a sudden your controls flip and you don't quite understand what the hell's going on.
I love that.
God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
If you step backwards, your controls just reverse immediately. Like,
because it's like driving a car. You know?
It took me like 20 minutes to figure out, like,
that's what it's doing. Yeah. A genuine criticism, which old reviews pointed out, like this is a proper always been a problem. Your turret turns at like one like degree an hour. It is unbelievably slow.
Yeah.
You forgot to push the oil turret button. That was your problem.
It's just like there's an enemy coming at me. Time to look at him.
You should also be noted that your turret is fixed, so I think Earth Age 2 has mouse lock. So you can actually
this one
look
does
stuff.
Have mouse look, I think. It just
it doesn't.
Means that now your hand has to go into the mouse, which means that you now have only one hand on the keyboard to juggle everything on the keyboard.
Yeah,
it doesn't really.
Well, right, you're not using a joystick, then you have like two hands for like three.
Yeah, so the joystick devices. Is kind of okay because the joystick lets you move, or you can toggle to move the turret, whereas the mouse only lets you move the gun. Oh, sorry, like the top part of the mech body, or the Herc body, my apologies, don't get me in trouble, Battletech. So you gotta, like, I think you gotta hold one of the mouse buttons down, like, right-click, to go from moving in the cockpit to moving the turret kind of thing. So yeah, you kinda got this weird toggle, whereas the joystick, you can switch between the whole body and just the, you know, turret, which is kind of a little bit more reasonable, and...
Man, I was mad I couldn't get my joystick to work for this.
It probably does suit joystick a little better, but the turret still turns so unbelievably slowly.
Considering it really wants you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just saying, I couldn't get my joystick to calibrate, so I couldn't tell you how it works. And I've got a sweet flight stick, so...
I've had some really weird issues with the Thrustmaster I have in DOS occasionally. Sometimes it's like, oh, I know what this is, and sometimes it's like, I know what this is, I won't take input. But I know it's there.
It's kind of realistic to the DOS experience, though.
Yes, it is.
So, because I love talking about DOS, I literally, because it lets you pick out joysticks from a list in this.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through each one of them, and then it told me it didn't recognize it. And then I went back to the very first one, tried it again, and then immediately just kind of like, oh, I know what this is now.
Son of a bitch.
It's like, you bastard.
You need to cycle it through.
I guess. You wanted something.
To be fair, I mean, it didn't recognize the first time you tried, so obviously if you try it again, now it's going to recognize
it. It's binary. It either works or
what it's looking
doesn't.
For. So, stuff other than sounds are pretty cool in this. Actually works pretty well. You got some nice clunk, clunk, clunk when you walk. I love when you get shot in this game because it basically blows out your, like, speakers. It's just like that kind of like... like, it really, like, you're... whole robot shakes when you don't have your shields up and you're like, oh god, oh god, oh god. Like, it really, like, makes you feel like you're getting blown up there. And it's got, like, some cool, like, music going on, you know, like, some cool, like, electro-trancy kind of stuff. Just, like, yeah, like, it's not super in your face, but it does, like, it gets you in the mood to drive a robot slowly around a map.
Yeah, it's got good, atmosphere. Like, it feels like a suitably, like, early 90s take on, like, what it should feel like to be driving a giant robot. non-anime division.
Also, graphics are pretty good. Everyone was like, it has texture mapping, which was a thing in 94, was like, actually, this looks pretty good, like, nice, tasteful use of textures on the robots and not much else, which works really well.
Mm-hmm. Again, I go back to Wing Commander 3, which is, like, slightly before that, and was another game that, I guess, you know, this wasn't transitioning in anything, but that was the first one that had, you know, fully texture-mapped polygonal enemies and stuff, set with kind of a similar 2D cockpit setup that you'd sort of frame the action with. And I think this plays maybe a little worse than Wing Commander 3 just because of the sort of flat beige everything that all of the combat takes in place in.
Yeah, but it's...
it's not that big of a delta, honestly. Like, it's a pretty sharp... Again, you know, transport yourself back to 94.
Also, like, the less crap that's in the actual level means you can actually, you know, move around the level, which is, you know, good. Yeah. You don't get caught up on too much.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't have advanced things like hills or slopes.
If, yeah, don't bump into a rock. It'll mess you up.
That's your true enemy.
And you can't see your damn feet. So you're like, did I clear the rock?
You can't see your feet. But you can change your view to like the actual area around you. You can press that button and it'll show because you got the I didn't mention you've got the targeting map and you've got the like above regular like actual physical map. Targeting map in this is really cool. It's really clever. You've got like three or four missile types, and to lock on with one of them, you have to turn your targeting from passive to active. And once you activate your active, like, targeting, everyone else's radar, in theory, because, you know, obviously you don't see the robot's radar, but all their radars, like, blink up, like, there's someone here using a targeting system.
Yep.
So it kind of, like, wakes the AI up, and they're all like, hey, what's going on over there?
We're at war.
It's actually pretty cool, like, to have this, like, almost this vaguely, like, submarine, like, silent running sort of mode, where you're, like, you know, cruising along, but if you want to break out your heavy guns... some of those are going to actually sort of wake the AI up in the nearby area, and they kind of converge on you. Some weapons will only lock on someone who's either like who has their radar activated. Like there's a rocket missile that goes at people with active things. So you're like, you want to have your radar turned off sometimes. Otherwise you get hit, and you can tell your, like, I guess your wingmates or whatever you want to call them, your fellow pilots, you can be like, scan the area, and they'll all like quickly turn their radars on and off just to ping everything around them. It's a clever idea, even if the game is, it's for enthusiasts and people that want to just like check it out. We're gonna have to rank it unless someone wants to say more about the game, which you're free to.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's okay. So like again, I kind of agree with you. It's like a fun thing to stomp around in for a while, and if you're like deeply passionate about the subtleties of mech radar management, this is probably going to be up your alley. And for the low price of free, it's like, it's fine.
Nice to meet you.
Looking around at the big list, the big important list, I'm looking for like comparable things, stuff where you are a person in a suit of some sort. And I guess I'm going to start with Bongaio.
Yeah, I could see the... I mean, it's like those are like literally the most different the games could possibly be.
What spot is that, really?
228.
Yeah, so it's 228. Nice. That's between Armed Police, Bat Rider, Street Fighter 3, and then below it, you've got Lemmings and Receiver. Which,
like, I mean, this is... like, Bongaio is a game where you just fly around like a maniac blowing up entire cities. This but game is like
the suit. Yeah.
Yeah. Where this one is like you are walking slowly around and then suddenly you're getting shot at and then 3 seconds later you're dead because your shields ran out. Like that's the game.
So the only thing I want to bring up when talking about ranking this is Star Siege is everything this game is, but better.
Yeah.
And well, we may have to rank Star Siege.
I mean, this one, to an extent, was immediately superseded by, like, two other games, including the game that they themselves made. This was this weird hump between, like, because there was MechWarrior, which was in, like, the late 80s, and then this one was, like, was actually genuinely, like, upgraded and interesting and brand new, blazing cool, and then the genre hit its stride kind of immediately after. So this one was a good holdover for people that, you know, would have been... Look, if you had played it in 94, I have no doubt you'd be like, yes, mix!
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, though, I mean, this is a weird one where I don't know how often we actually have a game where the sequel is just like, oh yeah, no, just play that instead.
It happens occasionally. Warcraft 1 suffered from that fate, or Street Fighter 1, they're just completely superseded by their sequels.
Well, we don't have Street Fighter 1, but I can't wait to do it. So 250, we have, I would say, a game that feels a bit like this one, and that is Independence War Deluxe, or probably better name is just iWar, because that sounds cool.
Oh, this game is better than Deja Vu, so...
Deja Vu is historically pretty rad. I guess I do want to sort of compare it to iWar, because it's probably the closest thing we have to actually like this game.
I would say
that's below Bang IO, which I do think below Bang IO is probably suitable.
I think
that's reasasonable. I'm just pitching things out.
I think this should rank
on
below iWar, because iWar is more unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like the physics and stuff. Like, this game is not bad, but as we said several times now, it just gets outgunned by like five other games.
Yeah.
It's not even fair. It's like within 3 years.
You know, if we're going to scoot it that far, can we also get it below Outrun 2006?
It's just because you like Outrun, right? I'm just going
to... Over this, yes. It's just as simple as that.
So let me front in with a 266 is Pilot Wing 64.
This is better than Pilot Wing 64.
Ooh. It's better than Pilot Wing 64.
But it puts it above Snatcher.
Everything's better than Snatcher.
No, that's not even remotely
don't quote
true.
Me on that.
Yeah, but that's because who put Pilot Wing 64 above Snatcher?
That's a great question, actually.
I was on that episode. I don't remember why. So 273 is Robotic Alchemaic Drive, which is interesting, but kind of busted ass.
I think I put this above Super Mario Kart. That's for sure. I think that's my ceiling. Or my ceiling.
So 277 is the floor. I'm happy with that for sure. And the ceiling is somewhere. I guess the ceiling is Outrun. You know what? The ceiling's Outrun. So somewhere in there is where this is going to go.
I'm fine putting this above Pilot Wings.
Got two better than Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
Two below Snatcher.
Well, I was not below. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to hash it out. Jedi Dark Forces, number two, is 264.
That's a bit of a rough... they're both kind of rough games.
Yeah.
But, to be honest, Dark Forces 2 kind of suffers from the same fate, because Outcast and Academy just way better.
I guess what I would say is I would probably put it above Dark Forces 2, and that's really primarily because you didn't have a lot of mech games before this one that you could compare it to favorably. It did kind of like come out and be like, well, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Whereas I think Dark Forces 2, you know, you obviously had the previous games, you had a bunch of first person shooters, you weren't suffering for games in the genre, whereas this one was a light summer shower before a full on deluge of this kind of game.
It's hard. Wait, what do you think? Means I have to admit that it's better than Dark Forces 2, and I can't do that to my 10-year-old self, but I'm smarter than that. And yeah, it probably goes above Dark Forces 2.
I'm smarter than a 10-year-old is always what you want to be able to say, because some of them are really smart, and it's very frustrating, and I will ruin this Earth!
That also gives you at least one of the Kojima adventure game things.
I was thinking like, 263 is Police Knots.
In retrospect,
are we gonna just...
I don't know how I managed to put Police Knots above Snatcher, but...
I don't know. Well, Slow Beef himself, who was actually involved in the, you know, bringing that across, was on that episode.
I know.
So,
I was there with him.
I guess we, you know, he obviously gave us the deep explanation for why. I'm actually happy to put it below Police Knots, just mostly because that game has robots in it. So, you know, there's a little bit of things going on.
To borrow from, like, the Giant Bomb canon, like, Police Knots, in terms of style, is superior to Earth Siege. Like, unfathomably so. Like, if I'm just going to, like, look at one of these games, I'm going to look at Police Knots.
I think if the campaign landed a little better, or the game was a little bit smoother in terms of controls, I think I would put it a bit higher, like, maybe considerably, but it's actually pretty dang rough.
Yes.
Which makes sense, because it's a freaking full 3D game in 94, so I get it. But also, the games that really influenced the genre came out immediately after, including its own sequel, so...
Yeah, when you factor that in, you feel a lot better about putting it down here in the middle of this list.
It's the middle at the moment, and it'll probably be higher up rather than lower up as we fill
This is not banned. This is among decent games.
This is among certainly not just two.
This has put us above like Command of Keen and stuff, you know. So whatever, pretty good. Yeah. We're doing it.
We're checking out
64. That puts it above Dark. Well, I'm gonna read the whole title: Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2.
For the
PC, it has an extra subtitle in there, right?
For the PC,
the official game of the movie.
Yeah, right.
Below
Police Nauts, which is pretty rad. Good company. If you like mech games and haven't played this, why the hell not? Because you probably will get something out of it.
Because you probably own Star Siege.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101, I know I did, by subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.